been in the middle of a series called Country Gold. And what we do, we sing a song and then we preach about it. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the will of God and how important it is for each and every one of us to know this. And honestly, this is as important a message as I could ever, ever, ever preach to you. There's no way that I could do this justice in the time that we have today, but if you will give me and give God the next 30, maybe 40 minutes of your life, this is something that is so, so important. Before we get started, we're going to sing a song, and we have a special guest for you this morning. Carrie Underwood couldn't make it, so Darla Weaver is going to come sing. And in keeping with the topic of God's will for your life, we're going to sing Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys.
Carrie Underwood.
Well,
Carrie Underwood.
It's the best I could come up with.
Cowboys ain't easy to love and they're harder to hold. They'd rather give you a song than diamonds or gold. Start belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. If you don't understand him and he don't die young, he'll probably just ride away. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old.
How fun was that? That's fine. I love that woman. Darla's a big part of the of God's will for my life. I'm going to preach about God's will for your life, and honestly, finding a mate for your life is the second most, I think, important decision that you'll ever make in your life. The first being knowing Jesus and receiving him as your Savior, because if we don't have Jesus, we don't know how to make the right decisions, right? And so I'm going to preach to you this morning about knowing God enough so that we prioritize what he prioritizes in us, and that is his will for our lives. One of the greatest, greatest pieces of information that you'll ever get is when you understand what God's plan and God's purpose is and his will for your life. Can you say amen to that? So if you have your Bibles, turn first of all to Romans chapter 12, and then we're going to go over to the book of John. Romans 12 is a scripture that is a challenge to every believer. It's a challenge to everybody that knows God or is challenged by having a relationship with God. And what he does in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, is it helps us to understand what God's will is for our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be not conformed to any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Everybody say, be transformed. Be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. It's a process of renewing your mind daily. It's a process of renewing what God has for you every moment of every day, perpetually renewing your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, or that you will know what God's will is for your life. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, the word transform in this, transform means to make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or the character of. So he's saying he wants to make a thorough and a dramatic change in our form, appearance, or the character of. This is just the dictionary's definition. In other words, lasers have transformed cardiac surgery. Laser is just amazing. An automobile that is transformed into a boat is like, oh, it's a car. No, it's floating. It's a boat. Transformation. To be transformed. Transformed means to change or to alter or to modify. Transformed actually means to convert. We hear the word conversion in Christian circles. See, God says, I want you to change. I want you to alter or to modify or to be converted into who I have called you to be. Another word for transformation is to reshape. God wants to reshape or remold, redo, reconstruct. Anybody ever have knee reconstruction or hip? You have your hip reconstructed. It's like, oh, I can't even walk. Then you get a new hip, and it's like, I can walk. We had reconstructive surgery. Oh, I feel weak. I don't feel like I'm a very good Christian. I feel like I'm failing everything. What you need is a spiritual reconstruction. It's not that you don't know God. It's that you've become, the illnesses of the world has overtaken you. And so what we do, we are being, it's a process, we are being transformed and reconstructed. We rebuild or recast, reorganize. Anybody ever need to reorganize your life? Or to rearrange, or to reorder, reshuffle, restyle. Here's one for all you carpenters, rejig. A jig is something you put a piece of wood in to saw it, because you have a jig that is made for it. And when the jig gets out of square, then you have to rejig because it doesn't come into compliance with the vision that you have for what you're making. Anybody with me there? Or to rework, or to renew, revamp, renovate, overhaul. Anybody need an overhaul? Yeah, we could use one of them. Remake or revolutionize. Then there's the word transmogrify. And if you know what that means, you get the gold star, because I don't have a clue. It has something to do with transformation. To change the voltage of an electrical current. Okay, here's the example. your house that you live in, there's a transformer outside, and the wires that come through the high lines has a lot more electricity in those lines than what your home can handle. If all of that electricity came into your line, into your house, it'd blow everything up. So what they have a transformer that transforms all of this electricity, and it brings the amount of power that your house is designed to handle into your home. Without the transformer, your house would blow up. So it says, be ye transformed. In other words, to accept the transformer. Now God has everybody here at different levels of Christianity. Sometimes we only grow as much as we subject ourselves to growth. If we don't want to grow, we won't grow. It's not like a physical person. If you have the right nutrition, you have everything, you're going to grow. But you see, it's the same way spiritually. If we're not willing to grow spiritually, we will be our growth will be stunted. So the power that comes to us, it won't be as much power as God designed for each of us to have. In Acts chapter 2, it says that, well, first of all, Jesus said this. He said, go to Jerusalem. He tells his disciples, go to Jerusalem and go to this room and stay there until you are endued with power from on high. He says, stay in that room. I'm going to send you the power. I'm going to bring a transformation in your life through the Holy Spirit. I'll not leave you comfortless. He said, why stand you gazing into the air? This same Jesus will come back in like manner just as you've gone. But what Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will transform you into the person that he has called you to be, because you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and tarry. They didn't know what they were, they didn't know what was fixing to happen to them. He didn't give them all of the information. Is there anybody here that wishes you had all of the information for your life? It ain't going to happen. Why? Because God wants us to embrace the process of rejuvenation, all them things I preached about, just said. Renewing our minds, the process. So, he said, and what happened was when he sent the Holy Spirit, he said they were all in one place, in one accord. That's not a Honda. They were getting along. That means they were getting along good. They weren't in a little car. They were in one accord, though, in one place. And the Holy Spirit came, and the Bible says that the Spirit dwelt on them as it was as tongues of fire on their head, and they be all, everybody say they all. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Peter gets up later and he preaches about it, and they're like, what's going on here? And Peter says, he quotes the book of Joel in the Old Testament, and he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The thing that God predicted and he prophesied through the prophet Joel, however many years prior to that is, this is what Joel was talking about. The Holy Spirit came and he said, they will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. And he said, this gift is for you, it's for your children, it's for your children's children, and it's for those who are afar off, those that even live in Montgomery, Texas in the year 2019. In December 2019, he says, I give this gift to you. Now, it's a gift that you can leave under the tree or you can unwrap it. God's not going to make you do it. Now, he said, oh, I know some crazy people that like speak in tongues. Well, we all know crazy people that speak in tongues. But let me tell you something. For every real thing, there's a bunch of mimics. There's imposters and there's people that will mess things up. I mean, for everything, there's like, we don't have any fake wood in this building, but there's plastic that looks like wood. is called fake. And there's people that have abused the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me just admonish you. Do not allow how people who don't know and don't have that knowledge that God's given them to honor God with reverence for the Holy Spirit to influence you on whether you receive what God has for you or not. So many times we let people mess up the way we think about God. See, we don't hang from the chandeliers or bite the heads off of chickens or play with snakes around here. That's kind of dumb. But who doesn't need more power to live for Jesus? Who doesn't need that? We need that. So why would we not? That's God's perfect will for the church. I want to give you a personal little, kind of a little personal testimony. And my reason for this is because if you are not able to adopt this message into your life, we would have failed this whole service. So I want to give you some of my life and how, because we're going to talk to you in John chapter, was it 15? John chapter 15, turn in your Bibles, it talks about bearing much fruit, and we're going to read that in a minute. But at an early age, some things in my life were molded and shaped, I believe, by my parents. I know that God shaped a lot of things. I realized I was born and raised in church when I was 4 years old. I remember kneeling down at the piano bench and inviting Jesus to come into my life. 4 years old, my dad probably preached about going to hell or something, and I knew I didn't want to do that. And so, I mean, even at 4 years old, like you still don't want to go to hell, right? Got a little bit older, and fast forward, I was 13 years old. My granddad took me, we went to the National Western Livestock Show in Denver, Colorado, and they had a booth set up where they were selling belt buckles. My granddaddy's like, he says, "You want a belt buckle?" I said, "Yeah." So he bought me a belt buckle. What they did, they would engrave it. And they said, he said, "What do you want engraved on there?" I said, "Randy Weaver, world champion calf roper." You're so vain. You probably think the song's about you. Anyway, that's what I wanted. He asked me. And so at that point in time when I was old enough to know that, because when I was growing up, they always preached about the age of accountability and how old are you whenever you really know what's going on. And I would hear adults talking about the age of accountability. And I realized if I was old enough to understand right from wrong, to understand who God was, then I was at that age. And that was something that just bothered me for some reason. Like when I was a kid and I do things wrong, I was like, well, I'm not accountable. I'm a kid. But then when I got that age, I realized that I had to be responsible for my own actions, and I knew that I needed help. So I prayed and I said, "God, baptize me in the Holy Spirit." It didn't happen until I turned 17. The Holy Spirit came and I yielded my, I asked, first of all, we have to ask, and then we have to yield our vocal cords and let God have our tongue. And honestly, I think it's kind of amusing that whenever God has our tongue, He has the rest of us. Yeah. Isn't it something? He took this and he said, "If I can have your tongue, I can have your body. But if He can't have your tongue, He can't have the rest of it." That's why we put bits in the horse's mouth, so we can guide the whole horse with such a small bit. It's very important. So the Lord baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and then I decided I really wanted to get married. I didn't get married till I was 33. I've always been kind of slow about things. But then, fast forward. Oh, before we was married, we rodeoed quite a bit professionally. And we was at a rodeo in Eugene, Oregon, and they had a big church there, and my brother and I were speaking at that church, and the pastor said, I was up on the stage, and the pastor said that he had a word from God for me. He said, come up here. So I got up there in front of everybody, and he said, Randy, God has told me that you will be a world champion calf roper. I'm like, sweet. So I figured in order to be a world champion calf roper, I needed to enter a lot of rodeos, so we did. But I never was a world champion calf roper when I was rodeoing professionally. I never really roped good enough to be a world champion. And so after it got more age on us, I just realized, well, that guy probably didn't hear from God, you know, kind of a deal. That probably wasn't God. Probably ate too much Bluebell ice cream the night before, and just like part of the deal. So, but we'd always go to Houston and rope at the horse show. And I had a friend of mine, he qualified for the Quarter Horse World Show in Amarillo. And so I went up there, and with him, he invited us to go. Daughter and I went up there, and we won for the first 2 years. We won reserve world champion in 2010 and 2011. Then in 2012, I won the world championship in calf roping. For old guys, like 50 and over, but it was the world. And I just think God just has a great, great sense of humor, you know. He's like, nobody knows and it's not a big deal. I mean, it's just, but it was pretty cool. Here's my point. Whatever you do, whatever I do, we should do all for the glory of God. And we should use everything to give God glory so that we can produce much fruit. Let me read this to you. John chapter 15. Jesus said this. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that it will bear more fruit. Anybody ever get pruned by God? It's like, we don't need that. That's dead. Cut that part out. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me. Everybody say remain. Remain. This is an important word for us today, to remain in God. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going, we say that. But listen, when the going gets tough, we have to remain in him. As I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So here it is. I am the vine. You are the branches. If, everybody say if. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Everybody say if. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Everybody say if. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. It's talking about fruit. God's will for your life is that you bear much fruit. And when you ask God to help you to bear much fruit, his answer will always be yes, because that is God's plan for you. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is how we show ourselves to be his disciples, if we bear much fruit. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain. Everybody, this remain business, huh? Remain in my love. Everybody say if. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. That's how you stay in God's love, is by keeping his commandments. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Did you catch that? says, my joy may be in you. You need more joy. If you need more joy, get more of Jesus. My joy may remain. No, it has nothing to do with your circumstances. It has nothing to do with anything but God's presence in you and you being attached to the vine. And because you're attached to the vine, you will remain in him and you will bear much fruit. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. In other words, your contentment in life will come from God's joy in you and you giving joy to God. And through your joy, you will be contagious with other people because you'll be giving joy to them as well. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, I don't feel very strong. Let me tell you something. God's joy is in you. Let it out. Let it come out. And sometimes it takes a lot of discipline, does it not? When you're going through some fiery trials to let the joy of the Lord be your strength. You don't have to like where you're at. You don't have to really approve of it. But let God, don't ever lose your joy in the middle of your trial. Because you always have Jesus. Yes, we have trials, but take heart. He has overcome the world, and because he has overcome, you can overcome the world. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. Greater love. God's love was proved for us when he laid down his life for us. And the way we prove our love for other people is by laying down our life for them and for God. Oh, I got three amens out of that one. So here it is, verse 14. You are my friends. Everybody say if. Yes. If you do what I command. You knew he was fixing to say that, didn't you? Because it's always if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I called you friend for everything that I learned from my father, I have made known to you. God's not up there going, that just ain't none of your business. You ever ask somebody about their business? That ain't none of your business. What do you think about it? Well, it ain't none of your business. It ain't none of your business. God's like, it is your business, and I'm going to share everything with you because it is your business, and you are part of my family, and you're my friend, and I'm going to bless you because I trust you with my business. So verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Y'all catch that? Before you chose God, God chose you. He said, don't forget this, that I chose you before you chose me, that I loved you before you loved me, that I inspired you to follow me before you were inspired to follow me. If you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go. I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. It's not ever going to rot. The fruit that you bear, that God put in you, will never, ever rot. It will last forever because you are investing in other people's lives and you're investing in your relationship with God. You're investing in the Word of God, and everything that you do will have an eternal benefit. This fruit that he's talking about is fruit that lasts forever. It's So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Anybody ever pray for something you didn't get it? Well, here's what it says. It says, if we don't get what we want, it's because we ask amiss that we might consume it upon our own flesh. A lot of times we don't know what God's plan is in the middle of our turbulence or our trials. We don't know. And sometimes the answer is no when we pray. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is just wait. But we don't always get what we want. So what we have to want is God's will. Here's what Jesus said. He said, pray in this manner. Father, thy will be done on earth as you have planned it in heaven. That is the plan for God. And when we pray in the Spirit, we pray in a way that we are praying in God's perfect will because we have been heard by God because the Spirit prays for us. You ever not ever know what to, you're like, I don't even know how to pray for this. I don't even know what's going on. I don't get this. I don't understand. We can pray in the Spirit. And the Bible says that the Spirit edifies us. What that means is that we are built up in the most holy faith so that when we're having issues and we're having problems, we can still bear fruit in the middle of our downtime. Because in Him we live and move and have our being, not in the way we feel or in our circumstances. There's peace in that. There's contentment. And there's always fruit. So there's important decisions when it comes to the will of God. It's like some of y'all are probably going, man, I wish that preacher hurry up. I'm sure hungry. I wonder where we're going to go eat lunch. That's not real important right now, okay? So what is important is that we hear from God. And see, a lot of times people want a sign from God. So, oh, God, just give me a sign. Just give me a sign. I did that one time when I was trying to figure out if God wanted me to go in the ministry because I didn't want to go in the ministry. I was up in the mountains. I said, Lord, if you want me to go in the ministry, just have a big old bear walk out on that trail. That way I'll know that you want me to go in the ministry, and I know you'll protect me because you want me to go in the ministry. And so this is all good. No bear came out. I thought I was off the hook. But here's important questions. Who should I marry? Should I quit this company or take another job? Should we start a family? Should we wait? What college should I go to? What degree should I pursue? A lot of young people have a lot of serious questions, and I just want to encourage, if you're contemplating what to do whenever you get older, let God show you, because He created you, and the maker of a thing knows much more about the thing than somebody that didn't make you. God made you, and He knows you better than you know yourself. So a lot of times what happens is we look for signs. When I was a young guy, we used to go out to eat after church, and we went to this restaurant, and they had a little gas station there, and it said, eat here and get gas. They had a sign up in Nebraska one time. It said, when this sign is underwater, the road is impassable. Duh. Outside of a resale shop, they said, we exchange anything, bicycles, washing machines. Why not bring your wife along and get a wonderful bargain? Here's one that was in the paper. It says, for sale, prize English bulldog. Eats anything. Very fond of children. Then there was one in the funeral parlor. It said, ask us about our layaway plan. I know, that's bad. I shouldn't have said that one. Okay, so I'm going to put a bow on this. There is a revealed will of God, and then there is a unrevealed word of God, or a word that's not readily available until we seek God and seek His face. The revealed word of God is the Bible. And He's made everything possible. And let me just say this. God will never, ever, please remember this, he will never ask you to do anything that is contrary to what the Bible says you should do. He will never, never ask you. So there's some things you don't have to pray about. Verse 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture. Everybody say all scripture. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He's equipped us. Thank you, Lord, that you've equipped us for every good work. So we ask, what is God's plan for me for eternity? 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Well, I don't know if I ought to get a divorce. I don't like my spouse anymore. Listen, I know that the marriages can be difficult sometimes. I get that. Darla and I, we've had our share of problems. I mean, sometimes we're like, you ever see that movie, Mr. and Mrs. Jones? It's like, we're just like, Smith, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Smith and Jones, whatever. Maybe the Lord was trying to censor me right there. But let me just encourage you. And I know it takes two. Listen to me. It takes both parties being willing to submit to God in order for a marriage to work. I get that. But let me also say, if you're married right now, don't get a divorce just because of the, just because you're not getting along. And we have a term in our culture called irreconcilable differences. And my point is, at some point in time, you liked her. Figure out what it took for you to like her the first time, then get back to it the second time and build on it. But build on it under God. Let me tell you something. Single person, let God guide you. and don't ever date somebody you won't marry. Don't ever just date somebody. Well, and don't ever date somebody that's not as good a Christian or a better Christian than you are. Well, I'll fix them. No, you won't. I've seen that messed up way too many times. Some of them guys come to church just to get it. They don't go. They come to church to get a good wife. And then they get, some say they get salvation, but after they get married, I guess it was just galvation instead of salvation. They know fruit. So you got to be careful. So I'm going to give you three quick points about how you can determine the unrevealed word of God. And what I mean by that is that there's a written word, which is the Bible, but then there's the spoken word or the rhema word from God that God gives each and every one of us for our specific things that are not addressed in the Bible. Should I do this or should I not do this? And this is the first thing that we do is pray. Our busyness has robbed us of our experience of prayer with God. And prayer is the key that unlocks God's will for your life. Ask God, what is your will for my life? Prayer changes things. Prayer is simply having an honoring conversation with the Lord and committing your way, decisions, and your thoughts to Him. Say, God, I want to submit to you. I need to know what you have for me to do. Pray in His will. The second thing quickly is rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to guide you. Anybody ever go hunting and you had a guide? Raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. No, raise your hand. You went hunting with a guide, right, Doug? Okay. Just everybody that went hunting with a guide, raise your hand. Okay. I'm just making sure everybody's alive out there. So when we get with a guide, the reason we have a guide is because we're up in the mountains and we don't know where we're at. We got to have somebody show us how to get out of there, right? So it says he will guide us. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what's going to happen. But he will guide us through today. He'll guide us through tomorrow. We all need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen to that? So here what it says in John 16:13, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And what that is, that's embracing the process of being guided by the Holy Spirit. The process, it's a process. He will not speak on his own behalf. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will tell you what is yet to come. It's a process. The last thing I want to say to you is we need the confirmation that God is speaking to us. First of all, through prayer. Second thing is the Holy Spirit, but confirmation. So here's three questions we have to ask ourselves concerning God's will for our life. Number one, does what I want to do line up with God's word? We preached about that. The second thing, does what I want line up with God's spirit and my spirit? Have you ever been in the middle of a decision that you had to make and something inside you told you not to do that? Yes. It's like, I just don't feel right about it. And it seemed like a really good deal. Man, I've made my share of bad deals, which I should have prayed more about. And I'm like, in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, I missed God on that one. So I don't want to miss God. So what we do, we spend more time praying, and we get this confirmation of our spirit agreeing with God's spirit. And the third thing is, what are people I trust saying I should do? The scripture says that there's safety in a multitude of counselors. But I will also say this, is that you need to be careful about who you get counsel from. There's a lot of people that will just agree with you. Don't look for people that will agree with you on everything. Sometimes you need to be disagreed with, and you need to honor those that may see something that you don't see. Don't take counsel from ungodly people, but godly people that you trust and you have confidence in, get counsel from them. But let me say this too. You have to personally hear from God. You do it because God said it, not because somebody else said it. You got to have peace about it in your heart. So, God's will for you and God's will for me is very clear. First of all, he said, my thing for you is that you bear much fruit. And he says, if you don't bear fruit, you're not a part, you're not attached to the vine. You remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree because it wasn't producing any fruit. So here's my question. No matter what God has called you to do, no matter what profession God has drawn you into, ultimately, God's plan is that you bear much fruit. Not just fruit, but much fruit. But fruit that will not perish, fruit that won't get sour, but fruit that will last for eternity. So that just demands this question that I'm fixing to ask you. How are you doing with that? How's that going for you? Can you do a better job? So how do we do it? We do it the way we just preached about it. But it's got to be a priority. You see what I realized growing up is that, and this is the honest truth. And I don't know who all in my life knows this, but when I was growing up, I read this scripture and I realized that I had to make the greatest impact for God that I was capable of making in my life. and my decisions about my career, things about what I enjoyed to do, everything about me had to be ultimately about producing fruit. Do you know why I wound up being a preacher? It wasn't because I wanted to be a preacher. In fact, I didn't want to be a preacher. But I realized when we first started this little thing in Montgomery, and it was Montgomery Cowboy Fellowship, and we were just having fun, having church and stuff, and then just minding our own business. Then God's like, well, we need to do this on Sunday morning. I'm like, no, wait, it's going to be a church then, and then that's officially going to make me a pastor. And God, you know I don't want to be a pastor. Then God comes like, he said, I need for you to bear more fruit. And this is what I've designed for you to do. So here we are. So we do that here. When we rope, we pray before we rope. We have a little devotion. Many times we have little devotions before we rope with whoever we're roping with. We have devotion. Why? We want to bear more fruit. When we go to Kroger's, we go anywhere, you start having a conversation, and then it always kind of rolls back into about God. Why? We want to bear more fruit. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
So you see, I'm just telling you what I know, but you are the only one that knows what you know about your relationship with God and what he's called you to do and how he's called you to bear more fruit in what you do. And that should be exciting for all of us, should it not? I mean, this is something we are like, I can do that. I can bear more fruit. But you see, you have to be intentional with it. You have to pray. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in your life and stop dragging your feet. And get confirmation, you know. Let other people help you. The way we do that, get in a life group, or you come to men's and women's Bible study. You make yourself available to serve on Sunday morning or wherever you're at. And then all of a sudden, this old machine that's called the kingdom of God, it gains steam, and it begins to operate on all cylinders. And then something amazing happens in the kingdom of God. Your neighbors are being changed for the kingdom. Little kids are being helped on Christmas time. And they're like, that church loves me. No, God loves you. We just love you because God loved us. And then they start showing up for church. And then something begins to boil. It begins to happen. And people, cowboys, start showing up because we had a devotion at the rope. And they're like, well, I can do something here. And they jump in. And you see how it works. It becomes contagious in the kingdom of God. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Lord, we thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We really are just dumbfounded by your grace and by your mercy, and that you let us do something for you, oh God, that you trust us to do something for you. I pray your blessings on your people today. God, please help this message to sink into us. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you for the joy. I'd like for everybody, keep your heads bowed for just a second. This morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, that's God's perfect will for you. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. And just humbling yourself and saying, preacher, or saying, God, I need you in my life. I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. This morning, we've all sinned. That's a given. But you see, each one of us as individuals have to make a decision to accept Christ and accept the sacrifice that he made for us when he went to the cross, or not accept it. So this morning, if you've never accepted, or maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. Preacher, that's me. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? You see, I hope you can see. Can you see why this is maybe one of the most important messages you could ever hear? Just like, it's for everybody. So deep. So please contemplate and pray and ask God to help you. So the question that I have for you is from a priority perspective. You'll say, preacher, I've not prioritized this sharing Christ business and this fruit producing business. I mean, after reading that scripture, I know God's serious about me producing fruit, and I got to do a better job of that. Raise your hand. I think we could all do a better job, honestly. So let's all raise our hands, and let's all raise both hands in submission to God, because I want to pray for you. Lord, I'm just honored, oh God, that you let us come together today. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you're doing a work in every one of our lives, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that you let us be a part of your kingdom. Lord, we're so grateful to you in this Thanksgiving season. We say thank you. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for allowing us to come into your kingdom. Thank you that you call us friend. Help us, Lord, to remain in you, oh God, to embrace the process of serving you and producing fruit, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you would give us innovative ideas, oh God, about how we can reach other people for you. Lord, I pray, oh God, that we would renovate our homes, renovate our hearts, renovate our lives, oh God, so that we can understand that this world is not our home, and the only investment that is valuable is our investment in our own salvation, our investment in other people's salvation. Give us wisdom, oh God, and prioritize producing fruit. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. We love you all. God bless you. We got our prayer team up here. If you need special prayer, we'd love to have you.